Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Every writer has a motivation for honing and perfecting the craft, ranging from financial gain to a passion for reaching others with a message conveyed through the written word. Christian writers often feel a tug at the heart that can't be ignored to spread the word of Jesus Christ, whether it be in an overt manner through inspirational work such as devotionals and articles in Christian magazines, or with a subtler theme expressed in fictional settings. My guest today, Alexis Goring, has perfected her writing skills as proven by the appearance of her work in numerous newspapers and magazines, on blogs, and as an author of 3 novels. She hopes that her stories will touch hearts, bring smiles to faces, and inspire minds to seek God, whose love for humanity is unfailing. Alexis enjoys other creative expressions such as music, movies, and photography.
Her passion for the arts and entertainment industry led her to pursue a course of study in print journalism from Washington Adventist University in Maryland, and she holds an MFA in creative writing from Full Sail University.
Her latest novel, Love in Pictures, released in June of this year. Good morning and welcome to the show, Alexis.
Good morning, Patty. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you here this morning. We haven't met in person, but we've done quite a bit of online communication with each other, so I already feel like I know you. And I remember you were a lifesaver when I started the critique group, and you taught me how to do track changes because I had no idea what I was doing. And you were gracious enough to actually walk me through that on the phone, and that was just so sweet. I will never forget that because I was just
I'm
so
happy
lost.
To help. Yeah.
Well, yes, I could tell that you were just more than willing to be of help, and it was so appreciated. So, Alexis, when I interview authors, I like to ask them, what kind of childhood experiences contributed to your life today as a writer, as a Christian? Did you grow up in a Christian home? Are you one of those kids that couldn't wait for the teacher to assign an essay in school, or did all of these things kind of come to you later on in life?
Well, I did grow up in a Christian home, and my parents instilled a love for God in me and my brother from a very young age, before we were born. And childhood experiences that contributed to my life today as a writer would include my mom starting me writing in a journal from the age of 4. And when I first started writing in the journal that young, it was kind of like a task for me, like an unnecessary task. But I still remember an entry, because I still have the journals, actually. A few of them I still have. And there's actually an entry in one of those journals that says, next week is spring break, so I will not be writing any for a week. But I just didn't like it at first. But as I continued writing, and I found a love for it, and it just grew on from there, and it just, like, took off. I even used to take my journals to my elementary school teachers after I completed each one and have them sign it. They were writing things like, "We're so proud of you," and like the reading specialist, her name was Miss Sweet, if I remember her. She actually wrote, "The superstar does it again." So it was a very positive experience, and I had people affirming my talent for writing from a very young age.
Well, that sounds really cool, Alexis. I can remember as a kid, the big thing was getting a diary for like your birthday or Christmas, mainly Christmas, because, you know, then you could start it on the first of the year. And I can remember that was a big deal. And you had your little key and you kept it locked because, of course, you kept all of your deepest secrets written in this diary. And, you know, especially about the fact that some cute boy looked at you or something, you know.
Your secret crush.
Exactly. You didn't want the whole world to know all of these, you know, life-changing secrets. So I remember I would hide mine like under my clothing in a drawer. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Always made sure
Me
it was
too.
Locked and I hid the keys. somewhere else. Yeah, well, I think that is really cool, though, that you started journaling so young. And over time, I've tried to journal, and it never worked out well for me. I always ended up writing stupid stuff, like I finished the grocery shopping today and dumb stuff like that, you know. So I finally gave it up. But anyway, I admire those who can. And there are people that really are so faithful with it. I mean, not only do they keep a journal, but they'll keep like prayer journals and things like that that really mean a lot. So, well, Alexis, you obviously love to write, but I'd like to talk about a couple of other subjects, a couple of your other interests first. Tell us about your interest in music, and do you listen to music when writing?
Oh, I love music. Like from a very young age, like when I was a kid, you know how your parents give you allowance money when you're a kid? Well,
yes,
my
yes.
allowance money, my first priority for spending my allowance money was a CD. Like having parents or grandma take me to the, you know, music store and buying a new CD, and that would come first before clothes or food.
Oh my!
Now as an adult, food and clothes come first, then music. But I still do love music, and I do listen to it when I'm writing because it's my main muse. Like I get really inspired and motivated creatively when I hear music. And so I have a lot of favorite artists, like a long list, but I can't name them all now, I know. So a few of my top favorites are Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, Adele, Whitney Houston was one of my favorites. Other people are Michael Bublé and Christian artists like Sarah Reeves and Sandy Patty and Mandisa and Macadamia Smith, Wayne Watson, Donna McClurkin, Yolanda Adams, Kari Jobe, Francesca Battistelli. I have a long list.
Yes, yes, it sounds like you do.
Exactly.
Now, do you
actually
play?
If I could tell a quick little story, my love for Christian contemporary and gospel music actually started when I was, I think it was 6th or 7th grade. One day after school, my grandma, who would pick up my brother and I after school, she gave me a CD, and it was Jackie Velasquez's, I said her name wrong, Jackie Velasquez had her debut CD back then, and I think it was called A Heavenly Place, and it has songs in English and some songs in Spanish too, and I loved the whole CD so much that when I got my allowance money the next week, I went back to that same store and went to the section on my own and bought a Crystal Lewis CD, and from then it was like a tradition, always going to the store, discovering other Christian artists and gospel artists that I liked, and it never stopped.
Let's talk about your favorite movies. What kind of movies do you like?
I like romantic comedies and some drama and, like, some action movies. When I was a kid, I made my mom watch the original Annie movies in the 1980s, like, every single day, she tells me. And as an adult, one of my favorite movies is Father of the Bride. Not the older one. The newer one with Steve Martin and Kimberly, what's her last name, Williams. That was such a great movie. But I have a lot of other favorites. I can't name them all, but it's a long list. It's like my music list is long. But a short list of it would be Leap Year, Last Holiday, Just Right, War Room, My Best Friend's Wedding, Princess Diaries, All a Pair, and a few others.
Not much of a moviegoer, but I almost wish I was because I can't tell you how many of the writers' conferences I have attended, and several of your speakers often refer to movies and the structure of movies when talking about writing techniques, you know.
Mm-hmm. So
when they discuss a movie and they're talking about the structure of that movie, I feel lost because I don't know the movie. So there's several that I have written down that, you know, kind of like your wish list with reading. I have this wish list of movies I'm going to watch someday.
Well, when I was studying film in grad school at Full Sail University, they taught us about that formula for movies. They call it the hero's journey.
Yes. Well, you also enjoy photography, Alexis. And what kind of photography do you like? Do you like to do stills, or do you like photos with people in them? Or what's your favorite type of photography that you like to do?
I like natural light photography. And I like taking pictures of people and also food because I have a passion for food.
Oh, really?
Honestly,
oh, okay.
I, Yeah, if I knew I couldn't fail, like, in addition to being a writer, I would also be a wedding photographer, because that's just, like, one of my favorite forms of photography. I also love to do photo journalism. I used to do a lot of that when I was on assignment for the newspaper I used to work for. And so that means I love covering news stories and feature stories about people and events. Like, I actually was blessed to be able to cover former President Barack Obama twice when he was in town. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. And you get to be, I think it's called the junket, and the junket with all the other media professionals from other organizations, and you set up the cameras there, and it was a really great experience. And so I like doing that kind of photography. I also like covering celebrations, like birthday parties, things like that.
Oh, how fun. I have an iPhone, and that's basically all I use for my photos anymore. And I kind of started this little signature thing on Facebook this year, the first of the year, where I write down the day, like I'll write the 227th day of 2018 has drawn to a close. And then I put a little synopsis of whatever I did that day or something. And then I always do a sunset photo.
Aww.
Well, I'll tell you what, Alexis, it's gotten to where I'm like, it's so stupid. I'm almost obsessed with these stupid photos. I get all upset. Like, I'll take one photo, and 2 minutes later, I look, and it's like, oh, well, the sky looks even better now, so I'll take another one. And shoot, I bet you I take 20 pictures for every one that I put on Facebook.
Yeah, that's technically normal, though.
I guess. Well, you write for a number of platforms, Alexis, namely blogs, newspapers, magazines, and of course you have your books. Most writers have a message and that they want to convey with their work. What is the overall message that you would say you like to share that shines through in your work?
I aim for an overall message of hope to shine through all of my stories and blog posts, because I believe we live in a broken world, the broken people, and we all need hope, especially in these troubled times.
Well, we sure do, and that's the absolute truth. So when you write for newspapers, what kind of I guess my question is, how do you go about getting those assignments? Are you a regular with any newspaper, or do you just kind of solicit these yourself as a freelancer?
I'm a freelance reporter. Yeah, I'm a freelance reporter. I was one of the on-staff freelancers for a county newspaper a few years ago, but they had severe budget cuts, so a lot of us had to go. We got laid off. However, I was at the paper for about 5 or 7 years, and the way it would work, you would have to be connected with the community and cultivating professional relationships with people, so that you, whenever a story idea came up, you were the first to get it. But also, sometimes the editor of the paper would assign assignments for all of us, like, you know, stories like, you go cover this event in the city and you go cover this school. But it's a mix of both. Like, they assign you the stories, and you also have to find your own stories.
Okay. So I wonder, do you, like, approach them and say, hey, I have the capability to interview Michael W. Smith. Are you interested? Or do you have to wait for them?
You can do that.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be pretty darn sure that you can deliver.
An example would be when one of my friends from college, he's trying to be a full-time actor and movie producer, and he's doing pretty well. He and his wife have a production company called Sunset Friday Entertainment, I think is what it's called. He produced a movie. His name is Anthony Hackett. 2 years ago, he produced a movie called Love Difference, and it was really important and timely because it addressed a lot of the racial tensions that were going on in America in a humorous and yet relevant way. And basically, tell you briefly about the movie. Love Different features. I think her name was Lindsay. The character's name in the movie was Lindsay, and she's from a small town in America that was mainly filled with people who look like her. Like, she's white, and she's blonde hair, blue eyes. And she gets her first job out of college. I believe it was just out of college at a all-black firm, and, like, all of her colleagues are all black. And so her boss hires someone who's played by the movie producer, Anthony Hackett, play a lead role. And Anthony's character's role is to help Lindsay get acquainted with black culture and other things that are normal for people of color. And so it's a whole learning curve for Miss Lindsay because she's not used to anybody but people who look like her. But the whole journey she takes in the movie is filled with highs and lows and real situations and a healthy dose of humor throughout. So it's not like a heavy, like, intense drama. It will actually make anybody from any racial background relate and laugh. It's a really good movie. So when I found out that movie was coming out, I asked my editor at the newspaper if I could write the feature story about it. And the editor said, sure, go for it. And so, yeah, so sometimes it works out like that, too.
Nice, very nice. And if you don't mind me asking, Alexis, what is the average pay range for these kind of stories?
Sure, Patty. So basically, when you're writing a story for a magazine or a newspaper, the amount they pay you varies according to the organization you're working for. I know a standard payment from what I've seen over the years for magazine stories are sometimes at least a penny per word. So if you're writing a story that has 500 words in it or 700 words in it, you can do the math. And if you're writing a story with over 1,000 words, then you're getting in just about $1,000. So it's pretty awesome. Newspapers, depending where you are and, like, their circulation and what they want to pay you, it might be a little bit less than a bigger magazine company would pay you. However, it just depends where you are.
It does depend who you're writing for. Because, like, I remember one of my biggest assignments ever.
And my biggest paycheck was from the Crisis Magazine, which is the official magazine for the NAACP. That was back in spring 2014 maybe. And it was really awesome.
Very good.
Alexis, you have written 3 books, and I know you have more in the works. So tell us about those 3 that you have out there.
All right. So my first book, I self-published with a company called Crossbooks at the time in 2013 and before. They were the imprint for B&H Publishing Group, which is the parent company for authors like Bess Moore and I think also Priscilla Schreier. That company publishes their books. They had an imprint called Crossbooks, which you could self-publish a book through. So basically that just means you pay for them to publish your book, and that's what I did. However, Crossbooks closed in around 2014. And so as of 2015, my book was rebranded by Westbow Press, which is the imprint for Thomas Nelson and Zondervan. I did not have to pay Westbow Press because my book was already produced. It was just transferring over to their company. That's where it is now. My book's title, that book that I self-published, is called Hope in My Heart, a collection of heartwarming stories. And it's basically a collection of 3 short standalone stories that feature characters in various real-life situations that are connected by one common need and theme, and that is hope. And when people ask me specifically, so what's it about? I give them an example of one of the stories in my book called Peace and Love, and it's set at Christmas time, and it features 3 main characters. There's Eric. He is a divorce attorney, and he's really bitter every Christmas time because when he was a child, his own parents got a divorce, and it was pretty traumatic for him, and he got bitter. Mm-hmm. And as an adult, yeah. So Christmas time doesn't remind him of presents and Santa Claus. Christmas time reminds him of his parents' bitter divorce. But ironically enough, he decided to become a divorce attorney, and it's just like a constant reminder for him. So he decided, though, when you see him in the story, when you first meet him, he decided that it's time for him to come to terms with his issues, and he reaches out to reconcile with his dad and his mom. And that is what he's hoping for, reconciliation and dealing with his issues. Then there's Christine. She is adopted, and she had a wonderful experience with her adoptive parents and family. However, she is newly engaged, and she's getting married to her love of her life, from her college sweetheart, Derek, in the new year, and on Valentine's Day. And so she only has, like, what, how many weeks? It's about 8 weeks to find her birth mom. So she hires a PI because she wants her birth mom to be at the wedding. And hopefully she's hoping that the PI will help her find her birth mom. And she wants her more than just at the wedding. She wants a relationship with her birth mom. Like, she loves her adopted mom, but she really wants to know her birth mom, too. And then there's Elle. She is a starving artist who's from Detroit, Michigan, and she decides to drive down from Michigan to Maryland, D.C., Virginia area because she has landed some interviews in each of those areas, one in D.C., one in Maryland, one in Virginia, and she's really hoping that one of those interviews is going to turn into her full-time job. So that's what she's hoping for. So that's an example of some of the characters in my book, Hope in My Heart, a collection of heartwarming stories, and what it's about.
I see book number two is Second Chance. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so A Second Chance is my first traditionally published book. It was published last January 2017 by Cynthia Hickey of Forget Me Not Romances. The story, it's a standalone story. It's not a collection of stories. It's just one story.
Okay.
And it features, but it's short, so it's a novella. And it features two journalists, Mark and Tracy, who each need a second chance in love. Tracy's story is that she's a jilted bride, and she's really bitter because her groom decided on their wedding day to run off with her maid of honor, who she thought was her best friend. And yeah. And then so she's just like done. She's like, whatever, I'll just be single. Who cares? Who needs love? And then there's Mark. His problem is not really a problem, but for in a dating world it's a problem for him because he's nice. He's really nice, like a nice, respectful, good guy. And so his girlfriends always see him as too nice and think that he's boring, and he always gets dumped or put back in the friend zone, and so that's kind of the story of his dating life. And so he's kind of withdrawing from the dating scene. However, his niceness is of invaluable help to his sister, Gina. Gina is a best-selling romance novelist, and she's struggling to meet her deadlines, her book deadlines, and raise her two children in the wake of her firefighter husband's recent death. So to give his sister time to breathe and meet her deadlines, Mark, who lives nearby, he offers to help his sister by babysitting her children quite often. So in the story, when Tracy and Mark first meet, sparks fly. It's like there's like an instant interest. However, they're both very wary and very slow to be all in because of their own negative and traumatic experiences over the years in relationships. And so then there's also an inheritance letter that plays a key role in bringing Tracy and Mark together, but that same letter also threatens to drive them apart. And you'll have to read the story to find out why.
Oh, man. And then, sounds intriguing.
You know, I think it's interesting, Alexis. They say one of the best things that an author can do is capitalize on circumstances at the time.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that you have a widow who is, you know, experiencing the death of her firefighter, who is dealing with that because goodness knows, over these past few years, the whole western part of the country has about been burning up with
forest
fires. So it sounds like you did a really good job with that.
Thank you.
And then my most recent book that was published this year in June 2018 is called Love in Pictures. It was published by the same publisher from last year, Cynthia Hickey of Forget Me Not Romances. And it was actually pretty awesome because she gave me the writing contract for Love in Pictures a few days before Christmas last December. So it was kind of like my Christmas gift, you know?
And I guess.
And it took me exactly 9 months to write Love in Pictures from start to finish. I literally started writing it in response to a writing challenge in January 2017. And I wrote the end by September 2017.
Wow,
Love in Pictures. Love in Pictures is a story, a fictional story, about a wedding photographer named Michelle who's never been in love until she meets the one man who she cannot forget. And those are my three books.
Oh, they sound awesome, Alexis. I'm going to have to read at least one of them. I absolutely really love this title, Love in Pictures. I think that just says so much, you know, and that title just really grabbed me. So that may be the first one of yours that I pick up simply for the title. At this point, Alexis, I'm just going to take a little break here. I like to make listeners aware of who and what they're listening to for the simple reason that on Blog Talk Radio, we have listeners who come in maybe after the show has started and don't know what they're listening to. So listeners, the show that you are tuned into at this point is called Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. I am thrilled and delighted today to have author Alexis Goring. And not only is Alexis an author, which kind of means that you have actually completed a book, but she's a writer and many other of the profession, in that she writes for newspapers and magazines, and she has several blogs that she maintains. And how she does that, I don't know, because I am not a good consistent blogger at all. So I really champion Alexis for all that she does. At the first part of the show, we talked about some of her other interests that she has in music and movies and photography. And now we're kind of talking more about the meat of her writing profession and her books. And we're going to go on to talk about some other aspects of Alexis's writing. I do want to make listeners aware that if you did miss part of the show, or you'd like to listen to it again, or you'd like to refer to others, that it is available on archive. You can find it on my website, which is PattySheen.com. For the first couple of weeks, you'll find it right there on the first page. But after that, there is a Blog Talk Radio tab, and it gives you access to all of the shows that we have recorded to date. Also, under each show, there's a More Information tab, and when you click on that, it will give you access to Alexis's online and social media venues. She has a website, she's got a blog, she's got a author's Facebook page, a Twitter page, Pinterest, and Goodreads. So you can find her online. She's out there, and you can learn a little bit more about her besides what you're going to learn on the show today. So Alexis, let's get back to our interview. And as you and I have discussed, the premise of this show is for guests to share ways they found their way from darkness to light. And some of our guests have a ministry that speaks to that. You have your writing that speaks to that. But also, there isn't a one of us in this world, I don't think, that hasn't been through a dark time and has to find their way back to light. So would you share with us a time that was difficult for you and how you found your way back?
Sure. I had a health crisis at age 16. It landed me in the hospital and was a very dark and confusing time for me. However,
I'm sure
God stepped in and took control. He sent me on a journey to restoration in every sense of the word, from emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical restoration. And he's still restoring me today. He also used family members and other God-fearing people in my life to help me as I healed. And it was during that time that the light started shining through in all this darkness, because God birthed within me my passion for writing devotionals. And I realized, actually in recent years, like, wow, I never really took a class on how to learn how to write devotionals or had a mentor teach me. Only if you want to consider God my mentor, because technically he was. He just inspired me with ideas, and he still does that today. And every time he, like, inspires an idea for a devotional or, like, downloads it in my spirit, and I get to my computer and I start writing, the words just flow like a waterfall. It's actually the most consistent way he speaks to me, because the devotionals I write are not just for my readers, they're for me. And I learn a lot from what God has to say through my writing. And also, I definitely feel more of God's love and his light when I'm writing devotionals. He's also used my mom over the years to help point me back to Jesus and move me out of despair and darkness into God's marvelous light. And I'm so grateful. Also, though, during that time when I was sick, a teenager, my mom revealed to me that God revealed to her a Bible verse called Jeremiah 29:11, and impressed her to share that verse with me because it spoke to my experiences. And I still go to that verse in tough times today. And I know, like it's just in Hebrews as well, I think it's 13:5, that God will never leave me or forsake me, because he loves all of his children, and his light shines bright in darkness and gives hope to everybody who's hurting in our broken world.
That is absolutely true, Alexis, and thank you for sharing that with us. You know, it's difficult when we deal with illness, and I think that is probably one of the most trying times that we go through, because certain things that we just can't do during that period of illness that we take for granted at other times, I think, you know. And of course, like I've shared earlier in the show, I am considerably older than you. And, you know, right now I'm starting to experience arthritis stuff, and I've got something going on with my right ankle that it just swells like crazy. And some days I can walk just fine, and other days I can hardly walk. And it's just really frustrating, you know. It's like, why can't I do this mm-hmm. today? But you're right in that God is always faithful. And I think sometimes maybe that's God's way of saying, okay, slow down. You need to rest today and recuperate mm-hmm. and kind of restore and rejuvenate yourself. So yeah, he has a reason for everything.
Yeah, I agree.
You have these amazing blogs. I've been to your website, and you just have so much going on over there. So tell us about your year-long series, which is entitled Devotionals for the Heart.
Okay. Well, with devotionals for the heart, I have to attribute it to God, because it just happened. Like, things just lined up. And I'll tell you the story briefly about it. Basically, a few years ago, I started hosting monthly devotionals by my author friend, Mary Manners, on my God is Love blog. And she was the first regular devotional writer for my blog. She would write devotionals once a month, and I published it once a month. I think on the first Wednesday of the month is when I used to publish it. But towards the end of that year, she said she could no longer do that for me. But God moved then too, because he sent Laura Thomas, who quickly agreed to take over for the new year, and that was 2017, last year. So once a month, Laura contributed devotionals for my blog. But then, right before Thanksgiving of last year, Laura said after Christmas she can no longer continue writing devotionals for my blog if she's too busy. Similar to what happened with Mary. So I said, okay, and I went to set out to find just one more devotional writer to replace Laura, just like Laura replaced Mary. However, mm-hmm. God had other plans, because when I sent out an inquiry about this, I got like 5 or more responses within the same day of people who wanted to write devotionals for my blog. And I sent out this query to writers, so I knew that they all knew how to write, but I didn't know which would be the best fit for my blog. So I kind of had a few rules, like, if you want to write for my blog, send me a sample of your devotional. Here is the format I use for my blog. Follow the format, please, and cap it at 700 words, no longer than 700. And so I basically narrowed it down to whose writing style and messages seem to be the best fit. I do want them to write whatever God puts on their heart, so I do give all of my devotional writers that flexibility. So basically, as the people who were interested in being devotional writers for my blog kept rolling in, I realized that maybe I need to do a Facebook poll to see how often people want to read devotionals, because then I was getting the idea of publishing maybe once a week, every week, instead of just once a month. But I asked on Facebook to my Facebook friends and family and writer colleagues, I was like, so when you read devotionals, do you prefer to read it how often? Like once a week, once a month? And long story short, the final poll was 3 times a week. So then I was like, okay, so I'll have a devotional writer every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on my blog. And it kept picking up, and then I was like, I should brand this series with the graphic design image. So I reached out to my designer friend Emily Ann Hendricks. You may know her. She's pretty popular with her photography yes. and design services, and she's also an yes. author. But anyway, she designed the logo that I came up with. The title, I mean, for my devotionals was going to be called Devotionals for the Heart, and then she put it in a nice font, and she had like a picture of a outline of a heart, and inside the heart, instead of being colored in with blue, pink, or whatever, it was actually roses that colors in the heart. Yeah, you can see it on my blog. So I had the design ready, and by then I had already gotten selected the writers that I knew would be the best fit for my blog. And since January of this year, 2017, since January of this year, 2018, mm-hmm. there's been a new devotional every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on my God is Love blog. And each writer, I organize it by having each writer having the same day every month that their devotional is published. So, for example, my journalist friend Jessica Brody, she has the first Monday of every month that you can go to my blog and read a devotional that's by her. And then Patrick Craig, who's also a Christian author and former musician, he has the first Wednesday of every month, and so forth. And that's how I organize it. And so basically, yeah.
Alexis, that sounds like a blog group that I used to be involved in called Putting on the New.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a blogger for every day. And
amazing.
But she had 30 of them. So 30 to 31. I did it for a few months, but I don't feel like I'm much of a devotional writer. So I finally kind of told them that I really didn't think it was, you know, a good fit for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's okay because devotional writing is different for everybody, you know? And like, mm-hmm. just like you might not be able to write devotionals right now, it's a struggle for me to write full-length novels. That's what I struggle with.
Exactly. So, you know, I think we all do our best to hone our craft in different ways. And I feel like mm-hmm. right now I want to put my energy into the novel writing. And back at that time, I was getting involved in the show and things like that. So, yeah, I think you have to set your priorities as you go along.
Well, tell us about your current blog promotion giveaway series, Summer Stories. Who are you targeting with them and who can participate?
Okay, so with Summer Stories, I'm targeting readers in general, specifically female readers between the ages of 18 and 50. And anybody who loves to read books and wants the chance to win a book through the Rafflecopter giveaway, that book giveaway is at the end of each blog post, can participate. And it both international and USA readers can participate unless the author specifies that they only want to send a book to the winner that lives in the USA. And usually they'll specify that if they're giving away a paperback copy because it costs a lot of money to send mail internationally. But however, some authors also like to give away Kindle copies, or, you know, the ebook versions. And so if you're an international reader, the author usually won't mind sending it to you because it's just through Amazon and it's only a few dollars. So that's who can participate in that. When it comes to the authors, usually I allow authors who write several genres ranging from contemporary romance, inspirational reads, and women's fiction, and inspirational romance, which is similar to contemporary romance, kind of the same thing within the Christian book market. And also chick lit sometimes, and sometimes Amish stories and historical romance. However, all of those categories I just listed, they must be under the Christian fiction umbrella. So it's mainly just Christian authors who write those categories of stories for the Christian fiction book market that are able to participate in all of my blog series. And so Summer Stories is purposed to help my readers find enjoyable books to read while they're at the beach or relaxing at home. And since this summertime, I decided to call the series Summer Stories. However, the stories do not have to be about summer specifically. They just have to be an enjoyable and clean Christian fiction read. And it's a weekly series. It runs on Sundays, and each Sunday for the entire summer season, a new author will host a giveaway for their book, and they'll also participate by sending me a post, either a guest post about why they wrote the story or a devotional inspired by the story, or I'll interview them in what's called an author interview, or sometimes they even like for me to interview their characters, which also can be fun. So that's how the series is done.
Well, I like the fact that you're so focused with that particular plan with your summer stories. That's pretty neat. I tend to be kind of all over the map sometimes. And you also have another one coming up called
Falling for Books.
Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, Falling for Books has a format that's very similar to my current Summer Stories series, only Falling for Books has an emphasis on helping readers find the perfect fall season story to read. It, too, features Christian authors who write a variety of genres for the Christian fiction book market, and they are participating in the same way through author interviews, character interviews, devotionals based on the book they wrote. Sometimes they'll even share an excerpt from their book, but none of these features, you know, character interviews, author interviews, are all put into one blog post. The authors that are participating choose one. Like, they choose one thing to do, and that's what they do. Like, if it's an author interview, then it'll just be me interviewing the author and their responses, and then at the end of it, the their author bio, a blurb about their book, what, you know, what the book's about, and
yes.
ways readers can connect with them on social media. And then at the very end, you'll see a Rafflecopter book widget, like giveaway, whatever it's called. It's like a little box,
yeah.
and it's just Rafflecopter. And readers mm-hmm. can enter the contest by filling out the form on the Rafflecopter. And the contest usually lasts for about 7 days, so from Sunday to Sunday, because, you know, Falling for Books will air every Sunday. Not air, I keep saying air. Falling for Books will be published every Sunday for all of the fall season. So I think it's that starting on September 23, I think, all the way through right before the first day of winter in December. And, yeah.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. Well, yeah, I like the fact that you just kind of do different features on your blogs. I've been doing the same thing for, like, oh, my goodness. I'm kind of shocked when I look back and see that it's been since probably 2010, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
that I started it, you know.
Me too. I found it,
yeah.
my God is Love blog in August 2010.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite amazing. And do you, I'm just curious, do you do all of your posting yourself?
I do. I like running my own blog. So I
mm-hmm.
actually have two. The one that I keep most up to date is what we've been talking about, my blog called God is Love. I keep it very up to date with weekly posts. I run everything myself. I get the writers together. I give them their assignments, or I take their ideas for what they want to write about, and I publish it every week. Luckily, with Google, I use Google Blogger for my blog, and you can just
okay.
log in and schedule the post ahead of time. And since I have so many posts every month, I do that a lot. So I don't have to, like, you know, be down to the wire the day of, like, trying to put together
mm-hmm.
a post. That helps.
Yeah.
And my other blog is called On My Heart. It's to cover different issues in society and try to bring people together and hope and all that. I'm still working on building that blog, but my main blog is God is Love. To you, I have a lot of guests on my blog, like Devotionals for the Heart, that
right.
tri-weekly
yeah.
series are all guests.
Mm-hmm.
The most I write right now, like, if I feel inspired to write a blog post every now and then, I will. I used to try to do what I call Thankful Thursdays every Thursday of every week, and basically it's just a post about what I'm thankful for that day or that week or what's going on. But normally,
yes.
this past year or two, my blog is mainly, you know, run by, fueled, whatever the right word is, by my guests.
By guests, yeah. Yeah, that's
yeah.
pretty much the way I am. Yep. Well, Alexis, if someone with no writing experience were to approach you and they expressed an interest in writing, what words of encouragement and words of caution would you offer about the profession?
Words of encouragement, I would say, if you're interested in writing, pursue it. Take classes on writing at a local library or college. If you're a student, study it in school and choose writing or print journalism to major in while you're in college or grad school. I say print, well, writing under the English major, that will help you. But specifically for me, what helped me even more than that was declaring a print journalism major, because it was as a print journalism student that I learned how to write precise and concise in a practical way, because sometimes you do get paid more for writing nonfiction for, like, you know, magazines and newspapers
sure.
than you do for writing books like fiction. However, if you specifically want to write fiction, then yes, go for it. You don't need to major in journalism. There's a lot of famous fiction novelists that were English majors back in college, and they're doing really well. But
mm-hmm.
for me, I found that the print journalism major was the best way for me to become the writer I wanted to be. I would also say read books in the genre that you want to write. So if you like love stories like me, I would say read contemporary romance. Now, there's two ways of going at it. You could be reading contemporary romance for the mainstream market, which is the secular market, or if you feel the pull to writing fiction and the romance genre for, you know, with a, you know, spiritual thread and everything, then you definitely
mm-hmm.
want to research the Christian book market. And two books that you can buy at your local bookstore or Amazon that can help you in both of those venues. I think for the Christian book market, I think it's called the Christian Book Market Guide. It's
yes,
published
Christian
every year.
Guide, yeah.
Yes, and in that book, you will find a full list of agents who want to represent a variety of Christian fiction, and you'll also find other good resources that will help you achieve your goals as a writer of Christian fiction. But if you want to write for the secular market, then I would say you need to get the book called Guide to Literary Agents. I'm looking at it right now. I have both of these books. I had just like the Christian, what's it called, Patty? Christian Fiction Book Market Guide, Christian Market Guide.
Christian Writers Market Guide, yeah.
Yes, just like the Christian Writers Market Guide, the Guide to Literary Agents is composes similar information that will help you reach your goals. And so all this talk about agents, I'd like to add in really quickly. If you really want to advance your writing career, like be a full-time writer and, like, you know, just make that be your thing, then you definitely mm-hmm. need to look into getting an agent, because with the agent, it opens the doors to more opportunities, because then you can publish with major publishers, like the big five. I think HarperCollins is one of them, and Simon & Schuster, and companies like that, they mainly mm-hmm. only will even consider your work. Not say yes, but just consider your work if you have an agent. So if you don't have an agent, no matter how good of a writer you are, you're not getting into any of those major companies, and that's what I'm trying mm-hmm. to get into. However, I've been really blessed, because I do have a great publisher who believes in me, and she's a smaller press, and she publishes books really quickly. And so also, I would tell the person who wants to write to connect with other writers and broaden your network. And I would definitely say, if you're a religious person, you need to pray about it and ask God if he wants you to be a writer. And if God says yes, he wants you to be a writer, then don't be shy in taking every single opportunity that God sends your way to help you realize your dream. I would also say, stay patient and never give up. So stay persistent. Because just like one of my favorite gospel music artists, Sinach is her name, sings, God is a way maker. Now, as for words of caution, because you did tell me to tell them words of caution too, right?
Yes.
I would say the first thing that comes to mind is, don't be discouraged if you get a lot of rejection letters. Some of the world's greatest professional writers who books them into movies and everything, they used to get like hundreds of more rejection letters when they started out. And I've also heard other writers that I know say they actually wrote like five or more quote-unquote practice novels before their first novel was even published. So the caution would be, it can be so discouraging when you're getting rejection letter after rejection letter, or it's just not working out for you, because that process last more than a day. Sometimes that can go on for like years. But if it's really in your heart to write, then I would say you got to push through.
I've often heard, don't quit your day job.
That too. Yes. But it depends. Like, I've also heard in recent years, I realized this too as an author, not every author, you know, can make a good living just solely only writing books. Like, a lot of my author friends, though, they're married, and they say that their husband is the breadwinner, and so they don't have that kind of pressure to, like, you know, make all the money off their books, because it's not possible for most writers, even if you're really good. I think there's, like, a select few that, you know, like Nora Roberts or J.K.
Rowling
or
Stephen King.
there's a select few that have made, you know, a living off of it. Their books are made into movies and TV shows and all that, and that's ideal. That's what I want for myself, too, but I'm still, you know, pushing through.
Well, hey, it never hurts to, you know, aim high, dream high. What is it they say? Reach for the stars. Maybe you'll catch the moon. I mean, you know, I just think that the loftier your dreams are, the more likely you are to succeed in life, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, one more thing before we end this answer to your question. Some books that have really encouraged me in my writing journey would be Produced by Faith by Devon Franklin. Have you heard it from Patty?
No, I have not.
Have you seen the movie Miracles from Heaven?
I'm writing these down.
Have you seen the movie Miracles from Heaven?
Oh, no.
Well, he produced that movie. He's also produced Jumping the Broom and a Karate Kid 3 or something like that. But anyway, Devon Franklin is a very famous Hollywood movie producer. He's also a Christian. He's a Seventh-day Adventist Christian preacher, so he's often preaching throughout the USA, in addition to having his own production company called Franklin Entertainment. He is the CEO of that company, and he specifically now produces movies that are faith-based. And however, his book, though, that I was telling you about earlier, his very first book that he wrote is, all his books are nonfiction, but his very first one is called Produced by Faith. You can find it in the Christian Living section at your bookstore, or you can buy it on Amazon. And his whole concept from my reading the book, Produced by Faith, just how, you know, you're looking at life as a movie, and, like, don't despair when there's conflict, because in every good story has to have conflict. So if you have conflict, you're going to have a good story. And he also talks about how when you're following your creative dreams to be a writer or an actor or whatever, not only do you have to push through, you also have to realize that, like, in the movie business, there's, like, I think it's called pre-production, development. There's a term that every movie has to go through before it becomes a movie. And it's like when the producers and all the people involved, like they all have to work on the script to make sure that it's, you know, worthy of being a really good movie because they want their movies to sell. And so that process can go on for months, sometimes even a year or more. And it's the same thing with writing books. And so you just need to persevere and realize that when the process is over, you're going to have, like, a wonderful product. And he also talks about, and Produced by Faith in that book, he talks about how faith is not a roadblock to your dreams. It's actually the key. So, you know, don't hide your faith. Don't be preaching and beating somebody over the head with the Bible, but also don't, like, pretend like your faith isn't going to help you. It does. Like, keep your faith in God, I would tell people, and just persevere. And there's one more point I wanted to make about his book, but I think I forgot. But it's a really good book, and it's called Produced by Faith. And he also wrote a book with his wife, Making Good, 2 or 3 years ago, and he has 2 other books that he wrote on his own. I think 1 or 2 others. But, yeah, I would recommend that book to encourage all creative people in every creative industry. And other books that have helped me, of course, the Bible helps in every situation. But also for the writing craft, if you write romance, I would say read Julie Lessman's book. I think it's called Romanceology 101. That's a really good book for writing romance. Oh, and one more thing. Join writer organizations. Like, I'm a member of ACFW, and that stands for American Christian Fiction Writers. And I'm also a member of a secular organization called Romance Writers of America, and both organizations have been very helpful to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely they are. And get into a critique group.
Yes, that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell them why, in case they don't know what a critique group is?
Yeah, what a critique group does is it allows your work to be seen by a specific group of people, of other writers. And the nice thing about critique groups is that you often have a mixture of experience. Some of the folks in the group are published authors. Some of them are just starting out, as you may be or we may be. And it kind of, there's different levels of, you know, of expertise there, but it allows, depending on how many people are in your group, say you have a group of just to give a number, let's say you have 5 people, that gives you a perspective of 4 different people on your story. And I have been so amazed at things that people have interpreted in what I'm writing that I didn't even really see. So it's been very helpful for me. And you have to take into account there are some people that don't particularly care for your kind of story if you're in a mixed group. You know, now some groups are very specific. Like, I should probably, I haven't pursued it because I really like the group I'm in now, but I should probably get into a group that is strictly Western, which is what I'm writing.
Yeah.
You know, what do they call it? Historical fiction. I like to call it Western, but anyway, still with me being in this group that we're in now with people that write different genres, I think it's been very helpful in that it just gives me that whole different perspective on what a reader thinks of what I write.
It is, and I'd like to add, it's really important to get in a critique group with other writers, period, because, I mean, your family and friends, like, unless they have a background in writing, I mean, they love you and they love your work, of course, as your family. But unless they're really blunt and they'll tell you the gut honest truth, you really need another writer. Also, because writers understand what the industry wants in a story, because it's more than just a reader telling me, Alexis, I loved your story, but not being able to help me, you know, make it even better and make it stronger. Usually only writers and editors can do that, unless somebody is, you know, just has an innate talent for that, even though they're not a writer or editor.
Exactly. It helps you hone the craft. Yeah. Basically is what it does. Yeah, hone your skills. Yeah. So, yeah, I can't say enough about critique groups. I'm really enjoying being in this one that we're in. I just never am caught up is my problem. But, I enjoy everyone else's stories, and I really, really like the feedback that I get. It makes me realize I still have a road to travel, but, hey. So, well, Alexis, it has been a pure pleasure to have you on board this morning with the show, and thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to staying in touch with you, and may God bless you with your writing and all of your other endeavors.
You too, Patty. Thanks so much for hosting me on your podcast today. I have fun. It's been a delightful experience.
Well, thank you. Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. I'd like to remind you to go to my website at pattishene.com to listen to this podcast or any others that we have broadcast. And also check out the links to Alexis's website and her delightful blogs, and also her social media links, and you'll also find those available for any other guests that we've hosted as well. So until next time, may God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a